Hey, Wes, are we doing what we love and loving what we do, or what?
We are. We're on our second rack and stack of the day. Our first one was, trying to get on roofs due to Hurricane Helene. And our second guest is a what I'm going to call a before and after look of what I would look like if I was to lose weight. But the other thing is, he is a return guest, which, you know, you always say that the only ways to be a return guest is that they did so horrible the first time that we got to have them back, or that they're awesome. So I'm not sure which one JR is, but I'm going to say the latter.
I think the latter, but you know, this is the check it out thing. We'll find out. We'll find out on this one. But JR, man, he's just, not only is just a cool dude. And plus we've already established pre-show that we're going to get together in Greenville, for a sarsaparilla, which I don't know if I've ever had a sarsaparilla, but I might have a sarsaparilla.
I think you have to go back to the old West to have a sarsaparilla, maybe.
I guess. Is that a tea or what is that?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Even I'm not that old.
I know. I'll mix it with a little Cabernet. It'll be fine. A little half and half.
A little Dr. Pepper.
A little Dr. Pepper and a little sarsaparilla, and we'll be good to go. But yeah, I'm looking forward. You know, JR, he's a unique and incredible individual, and man, I'm just, he's an entrepreneurial manager. I mean, he's been involved in so many things in the fiduciary world, and he's lived a life that's just absolutely, I want to say complex, maybe is the word. He just got so many things to talk about. And I told JR, as you know, we just talked to him pre-show, and we're going to go get him right now. But, you know, this is going to be the JR show because he's got so much to do. I may go get a sarsaparilla and just come back in 30 minutes. Who knows?
I think that sounds like a plan. And instead of talking about it, how about we get to it?
Oh, that's right. He's in the green room. He's eating our green, our grapes and cheese and all the stuff we have.
Yeah, he's cleaning out our charcuterie board as we speak.
He is. And probably a sarsaparilla. So let's go do it.
All right.
All right, brother.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Look at you. Is that you or Wes? Oh, that's you. Wow.
No, I get so confused. I get some poundage on me for that joke.
Oh, it's good to see you, brother. Wes, oh,
I know. Out yet.
Oh, I think he's going to draw a mustache. He has skills, you know. He may put a mustache on you, or darken it, or lighten it, or give you hair, or make you have, you know, clown glasses, or who knows what he'll do.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a while since I've had that, brother.
Yeah, well, okay, that's what I've heard. But you know, we won't talk about that today unless you want to. But yeah. Hey, welcome, my man. Welcome.
It's welcome. Great. Hey, I don't know what my camera's doing. It just went crazy on me.
Look at that thing. Look at that thing.
Uh-oh. I know what happened. I know what happened.
You got all excited and you're pushing buttons and.
You know, life's exciting. What can I say?
It is. So are you at home in beautiful Charlotte today?
I am. And it's an interesting experience. We had a big storm and it was awful. And here I go. Sorry about that. It's
right.
It's the artificial intelligence of the control board. What can I say?
That's all right. You just like to fiddle. You're a fiddler.
Yeah. A lot of places got really wiped out, and some towns, Western North Carolina. I'm in Charlotte. I'm actually in Central North Kakalaki. So we got a lot of rain and a lot of wind, but nothing big. Yeah. A couple branches down in the backyard. No big deal.
Yeah, we dodged a bullet again here in Southwest Florida, in Naples. The storm was about 140 miles offshore when it passed us. So we got 35, 40 mile an hour winds for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours and a little some heavy rain. But, you know, nothing like they got in the Big Bend area in Florida. And then obviously from there on up through yeah, it's been last big one we had here, I think, that it was Irma that hit right in at our place. And Yeah, that was a big one. A lot. There's still some blue tarps here and there after all those years. Still, occasionally you see them in the air when you fly in. But it's amazing when you fly into an area reasonably soon after those, and I mean reasonably soon, like 2-3 months even. That's all you see is like this sea of blue tarps, and you know some of those aren't going to get replaced for months, if not years. You know, that's a big deal. So I'm glad you're good in Charlotte, and I bet the winds will howling through downtown down in good old Charlotte during the heart of that, I'll bet.
Oh yeah, and now we have skyscrapers, and you know, who knows, maybe they want to be like Atlanta or something. I don't understand that. I mean, I love Atlanta, but it's sort of like New York on grits, and you know.
Yeah, it's, well, Charlotte's growing up. I mean, right. I was there a few years ago to a show, and it's funny, when I was there, we got the remnants of another hurricane while I was there, and I remember how windy it was coming down the streets and stuff. But yeah, Charlotte's, you know, it's growing up into a big boy and girl city, right?
Yeah, we don't quite have the crime wave yet, but, you know, wait a couple years.
Well, you get that, and then you'll be fully 100% big city.
That's why I'm a suburban boy.
There you go.
We're hanging out in the burbs, brother.
You got to love it. Well, JR, you know, I'm blessed to have you as a friend and a pal and a brother and a buddy, and we don't chat enough, and we're going to fix that, but we're going to chat today. So tell us a little bit about who in the world is JR.
It's been a long, strange trip, like you said. You know, the old song from Grateful Dead. What a long, strange trip it's been. Ooh. And it has been.
But you can make a living doing that, you know, singing. That was pretty good.
Well, that's why I'm a fiduciary, brother. I like keeping the lights on. And it's you know, just like with Joe Piscopo, fiduciary has been very good to me. And so very pleased with what you go through. Things, you have a full scholarship at a college, and then something happens, and all of a sudden you're in a green outfit, and then you get out and you get married, and you turn it, and the business that didn't make money, all of a sudden it's making more money. And then somebody else that's your partner decides, this is getting old. So all of a sudden you got to reinvent yourself again. And then that's happened a couple times, and reinventing because of, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you go down the gold mine and then you hit the end of that vein and you got to reinvent yourself.
Yes.
Because the life cycle is the product. I'm sorry, everybody, but not everyone's got a government job. And honestly, I wouldn't want one, because I like challenges, and it keeps you young, healthy, active. We're going to talk about that later, about challenges and making yourself happy. Yep. Making yourself, because it's hard to be happy right now. Especially if you're watching news and saying, you know, both sides, it's like, you know, everybody's crazy, and you know, the routine, I won't get into that.
Well, it is. And you know, you kind of hit on a point. You got to take responsibility for your own happiness to a large degree. I mean, there's outside factors that sometimes you can't control, obviously, but with that said, you can control way more than you think sometimes if you have an entrepreneurial mindset. And like you said, you get down there, you go down the hole, the golden mine shaft, until you need to take a different direction. And that's one of the fun parts of entrepreneurship, right? Is the constant change. That's one thing that's for certain, is nothing's for certain. And that's part of the nerve wracking part sometimes, but also part of the fun of what you do if you're any kind of business owner, right?
Well, here's the thing: where there's great change, there's great opportunity. And when everybody else shrinks back, it's time to get the knife out and fix bayonets and go up the hill.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So let's go back to the start of the JR's world and lead us through some of the things you've done, because you have so much experience in so many different areas that it's actually an amazing story. So tell us how you got started in this wonderful life of entrepreneurship.
Well, I was fortunate enough to graduate from the finest school of then. It was called photography. Now it's imaging science, but it was a Harvard of photography, and I graduated 1 of 8, number one in the class in the world. Nice. But if everybody hasn't noticed, I'm a white male, and that was the era of EEO, and they already had plenty of young white males, and they had to hire minorities, or diversity candidates, as they call it now, to keep their government contracts. Kodak had plenty of me. They needed other people because that's what the government said, where the market went. So all of a sudden, I found myself with a really good degree and nobody wanted to hire me. I mean, I went to the the national PMA, which is the big convention for Photo Marketing Association, because my degree actually is photo hardware, double major in professional photography and marketing. And nobody wanted me, because other than on straight commission. And I mean, when you're coming out of school and you have a debt and you have a house and you have a new wife, you kind of need that mailbox money once every 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, then I started to sell ice cream to Eskimos. I was in Rochester, New York. And, you know, being in Rochester and selling photography is sort of like selling ice boxes to Eskimos. There were 56,000 employees that work for Kodak in the county. And you could go to the camera club for free. And you could process pictures for free, and they had experts on staff, and you could get equipment, technical advice, free this, free everything. And that was my competition. So the first year I starved, because I did what everybody else does. You get in the middle and you just, well, this is the market. And pretty soon I realized there's two ways to make money, and pretty much in anything. You either do the extreme quality or the extreme volume quantity. But in the middle, where everybody is, it ain't no big deal to not pay your bills, because there's a lot of people that are starving.
Right.
Or, you know, so I invented a couple things. I won't get into that sidetrack too much, but I invented preschool photography on location. The first one I know of that took it to the road. And what's great about that, unlike weddings, unlike social events, unlike things where it's a specific time, specific thing. Oh, Randy, we can't do it on Tuesday. Well, how about Thursday, Friday, or the next Tuesday? And pretty soon I went from, I won't get into the marketing side, but that's a whole different, another story. But sometimes you got to put everything on the line. And there was a big mailing I did, and I didn't expect much. And I mean, out of 50,000 pieces, I got almost 2,000 responses.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah. And here's one of life lessons for me. We all have our goals and we have our minimum, but we got the maximum. I didn't realize that I had a certain paradigm of success. And so the first year, I actually subconsciously was sabotaging my own success. Rather than increasing my paradigm, I decreased the revenue. And fortunately, in that world, everybody doesn't know everybody. So on all the situations, I didn't have anything. I didn't know how to. I mean, when you go up to 80,000 sittings a year in a small time frame, you better have some kind of a systematized, organized methodology to deliver it, or you have what my first year's customers were. EO'd.
Yeah.
And gotcha. you know, and fortunately, God's gracious. And like my grandpa told me a long time ago, God's looking out for fools and idiots. So most of us are covered one way or the other.
True, true.
And so I jumped in it the next year with the modification. One thing that I never really acknowledged until surprisingly not long ago is we don't know anything, and it's bad experiences that make us really smart. So if you're seeing any intelligence on this side of the screen, it's probably from a lot of bad experiences. And me saying, look, I'm going to screw up in different and creative ways. I don't need to do this twice.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah. Well, and that old theory, right? The mistakes are fine. That's how you learn, and you start from a new spot. The sin, if you will, is to keep doing the same one over and over, right?
Right. Let's screw up in different and creative ways.
Yeah. And I've heard it before, and I'm sure somebody incredibly famous said it probably. If not, I'm going to claim it before you. But that if you're going to fail, let's fail quickly. You know, it's fine. You not take years to fail this thing. If we're going to screw it up, the faster we screw it up. And again, I have to preface this because some people say, well, so your goal is to screw it up. Of course not. But the point is, it's going to happen. If you're trying anything at all, you're going to have failures. You're going to have less than optimal success, where you may have all outright failure. But the sooner you get to that, right, the sooner you can figure out what worked and what didn't work, and you start from a new point. I'd rather fail in 6 months than 6 years, is all I'm saying, right?
Listen, fail often and fail frequently up front. Make all your mistakes up front, because down the road when you scale up and you're at 30 states, you don't want to mess up at that because, no. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, it's much.
That's going to cost you.
Much bigger.
Yeah.
Well, you know, back to, you know, your 80,000 settings and the challenge that created and not having systems in place, that reminds me of another often used term that gets forgotten often too, is the idea that in business sometimes we tend to way overpromise to a point that we will fail right out of the gates because we think we have to say yes to everything, to everybody, to every time. And we've all had those experiences. I told that story at a talk I did a couple of weeks ago at a trade show in the metal world, where I promised I was going to do as a 22-year-old. And most of the people that I was promising to were much older than I, and they knew I was going to come back with, I can't do this, but they figured that was a good way for me to learn. You know, to come back with a tail between your legs saying, yeah, you know, I promise I'd do this in one day and I kind of need six. Jeez, sorry.
I need clientele like that, although I've had some really good ones. And I know what you're saying. Those people are golden and they mm-hmm. stay with you.
Yep.
Because they're humble enough to realize in their success, hey, this dude's trying, and mm-hmm. let's give him a shot. Let's give him his swings at bat.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yep. And no, you're right. I mean, valuable lessons. And I still remember that today. And I think I was around 22, and I'm not quite close to 22 anymore. You know, I know it's hard to believe. I'm 32 ish, but, okay. Quit shaking your head. That's not even funny, but, you know, but you know, those are life lessons that you take with you. And I've got much better at managing expectations with customers, with folks, and understanding, right, that sometimes the answer is no, or not the way you want it, because I'm going to try to be as good for you and to give you everything I can possibly give you as your supplier. But if I can't do it, the sooner I tell you I can't do it, but here's what I can do, is way better than that overpromise, because when I know that 3 weeks from now when the truck supposed to show up and it's not there, now you're mad. Let's make you slightly disappointed today when I tell you I can't do what you want, but I can do this. You know, it's all about managing those expectations, because people they can handle 90% of those, 95% of those. They'll say, well, I was hoping for 2 weeks, but if it's got to be three, I understand it. Thank you. Just do the best you can, right? That's what you'll get 95% of the time, right?
Yeah, and the people that are really putting you on what I call a short stool with a tall candle burning under it.
Yeah.
We'll do this deal, but don't expect me to call you back for the reorders, because it's not like I'm rich, but it's not like I need your money.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
two-way sale.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, and that's a great point, it has to be, and again, another old adage that gets used a lot and then not thought about often enough, I think, is they do have to be win-wins, right? They really do. It can't be you win as the customer 100% and I lose 100% as a supplier, because I might take that deal today, but I'm not going to take that at some point. And then you as the customer, right? Because I'm not going to continue to take a deal that's just not profitable, at least at the minimum end of what would be profitable, and not something that makes sense when you could do that same work tomorrow for some place that you could make some money, right? I mean, we are in a for-profit world in what we do.
And here's the thing. The ones that require the most, that are trying to nickel and dime you on every step, and of course, you know, everything's subject to negotiation. I'm all mm-hmm. about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can't even get a half a loaf of bread out of it, I don't have a sandwich.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True enough. You know, well, yeah, it's almost like, you know, like, especially in youth sports and in at the collegiate or the professional level, I mean, it's a whole different story.
Right.
But if I'm going to suit up as a 9-year-old and come to all the practice and do all the stuff, could I like touch the ball once in a while, a little bit, right? No. And I think that's the whole case there. Somewhere we got to have some wins back and forth. Again, there's a certain point where NFL, I don't owe you to ever touch the game. I just owe you your salary that I'm paying you, right?
Which is too much money in most cases.
In most cases.
Our quarterback in the Panthers, but we won't go there.
We don't want to go there. Well, unless you want to go there, but we probably don't want to go there.
Probably don't want to go there. Yeah, we want to keep it on the upswing.
That's true. That's true. So and before we leave the world of photography, or maybe we won't leave the world of photography at all, but you take some incredible car pictures that are beyond amazing.
Thanks.
I think you may have a, I think your love for rock and roll has something to do with some photography you've done in the past. So I would really like to go down that road, especially on the rock and roll part of the world. So
sweet. Well,
tell us a little bit of your background there, because it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I was a high priced apple picker with the we had six photographers working pretty much 18 states heavy, but it was 30 states income over the life of Hot Shots, which was the company I created. But I mean, what do I do for the other 9 months? Because other than, you know, Easter Bunny pictures in the spring, everybody wants pictures for the Christmas. Put the wallets in all the, here's how old I am, in the Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, and send grandma and grandpa the 8x10 and put the 10x13 over an 80-inch wide sofa and say, well, aren't I a great decorator?
Yeah.
We don't yep. care. You know, it was very profitable while it lasted, but then the big boys found out and now you can figure out what I was making back then, because it was 10 buck net per student that we're there. And, you know, it went down to school photographers coming in and just completely eliminating it, because they were happy with 50 cents because they're volume people, and they were just keeping their lab and their shooters busy. Mm-hmm. That was a win right there. Even if it was a zero net sum game, it still was, because they're keeping everybody busy and they're not paying them for, you know, keeping the equipment up and stuff when on the downtimes. But I've always loved cars. I got it from my dad, and I kind of took it to a new level. And if you see me at Amelia Island, haven't made it out to the Pebble Beach yet. but I go to a lot of regionals. In fact, coming up in 2 weeks, I'm really ticked off because there's three of the shows I want to go to. So, okay, pick your poison and be mad that you can't go to the other two.
Yep.
Anyway, but it all comes down to my, okay, this is worth saying more than once. You start off with a baseline of excellence, and then you try to craft ways to improve on that. But you have to be excellent at whatever you do. And if you're not, you ain't keeping the lights on. As there's no room for mediocrity to make money, especially in this competitive market we're in.
Right.
Sticks and bricks or what I'm doing or anything. Tiddlywinks, you can't. So you have to be excellent. So learn how to be excellent, first of all. And then hook up with some people that you want to be with. Because money is only so much. If you're not hanging out with the people that you share the love, I mean, I don't have an underground garage with 40 cars like Tony Stark, you know?
Right.
But some of my friends have more.
Hmm.
And when I see them at the shows, they know my name and they know who I am and what I do. And occasionally they call me in still. But I actually dropped my website for photography because you can only do one thing really well. Back in the day in the studio, I actually identified six different markets I wanted to pursue when I was starving. And the problem was I was making progress in all six of them.
Hmm.
And so I had to drop some because you can't be all things to all people. You can't sell your sticks and bricks stuff and then turn around and be doing concrete on the side. You're either laying down the mud or you're selling the windows and siding and shingles and all the wonderful specialty items you represent. And it's the same in my world. I ended up learning a lot, because I obsess on a lot of things I do. I guess it's an obsessive compulsive nature that I have. And I just want to know about it. I don't want to. There's enough idiots and mediocrity out there. That's a crowded market. I don't want to be one more, although I have been confused with that more than one. But,
good stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, I learned how to take pictures in low light. Remember, it's the film days and high speed. Back at, you know, nice, now it's ISO, but it was ASA 400. So how do you shoot people doing this stuff with 400, you know, with cameras that don't autofocus and film that, I mean, I've got a camera right now that, you know, it takes pretty good pictures at ISO 20,000. So to go from 400 to 20,000, it's a whole day. And plus it stabilizes and it autofocuses. It does everything, except it doesn't know how to frame. Hmm. It does not know art. Artificial intelligence, thank God, hasn't hit that level yet. And it's going to take a while, but that's the stuff you need to do is you need to see what the true fundamentals are in anything. Like if I was in your business, and I wouldn't be because you're there, so there couldn't be two superstars. I'd learn everything there was to learn about the materials and the problems and the delivery problems. That would take a lifetime anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's taken you a lifetime.
It has.
And the market's still evolving from what I see. So it keeps you young. Or whatever the heck it is you're saying it is.
well, it does. And, you know, that's the, you know, to your point, JR, that's the exciting part is there is it. If you want to be, let me back up. If you've got the it, whatever that is it is to be somewhat of some kind of success. You have this desire to keep growing, to keep getting better, to keep learning. And that's the beautiful about any industry. Is there is never a point where I've never found it yet. I don't think it exists. Maybe it will someday. And then I'll just have an extra Dr. Pepper or two a day. But I've never hit a point where, you know what? Now I know it all. There's nothing else for me to learn now. I'm just going to cruise because I know it all. It's like every day there's some new thing pops up that I know, like you, to your point, I need to learn that. I need to get a little better at that. Or sometimes you get it the tough way, and that's the way most lessons are. Wow, I got hit with that one blindsided, and I guess I probably should have been better, right? Shame on me for not being better, but I will be better next time, right? Yeah. And but that's the beautiful part is every industry that you are, there's, and that's why you know, and some people will misconstrue when I say this, but any given day, you still got to do something, right? And so I operate under a theory that I sometimes have to explain myself, but done is better than perfect because perfect doesn't exist. It's a ever continually moving bar. So at some point, I'm as good as I can be right this second, and I'm going to go do the best I can do with the best information and the best skills I have today. But that doesn't mean that you're going to ride that out into the sunset, right? It just means that you're going to evolve, because the problem, if you don't, is that I want sell something today, or like I like to say, using kind of a little bit of a Zig Ziglarism, but help somebody get what they want or need, right? I'm not going to do that because I don't think I know enough yet to sell this to you, JR. So I'm going to wait to present this to you until I am smart enough and know enough. Well, if you're ready to buy today, and I've presented a project, a service, a product, whatever the case is that's researched to the best of my abilities, then we need to go ahead and do the deal, right? But that doesn't mean that I'm going to like keep doing it that way 3 weeks from now when I'm trying to sell Wes or help Wes get the same thing. I'll probably be incrementally better.
Well, here's the deal. Perfection is not an illusion. It's a delusion. First of all, second of all, and this I learned from the great Jeffrey Gittimer, you don't sell.
Right.
You relationship build.
Exactly.
And I mean, we got a great relationship, but I got great relationship with my clients. Mm-hmm. And they trust me because they know me, because if I got to, hey, I know this sounds hard to believe, but I've dropped the ball a time or three.
No, not you.
I'll tell them, like, you know, Pogo, an old cartoon. We have been in the loose translation. We've been in the field and we found the enemy, and they are us.
Yes,
I screwed up. And the biggest thing to do, biggest advice I might give during this thing, although I want to hit my 4 points.
Yes,
is I actually retained a client for life when I told them, you know, I'll tell you what happened. I did a root cause and I found out who it was, what happened. It was me. And I could man up and I could say, you know, the dog ate my, or some BS. And it was really hard to say that because some of the deals I got would make your mouth water when you see how many comments are there. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. And that's going to go, let me get into my little shtick here.
Yeah, let's go to the stick. I'm ready. Take it away.
Okay.
You want a drum roll or should we just?
Please, not that. Then I'm going to start rocking and rolling. And okay, you got to do a 2-4 downbeat, brother. But anyway, the thing about it is, and the great Bruce Mills shared this with me about gap versus gain. And gap happens when, okay, we're goal-oriented. Randy, what's your 1, 3, 5, 10, and 20-year goals?
Yep.
And then you do stuff, and it's rarely like this. It's usually a gap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I failed again. I fell short. Oh, geez. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe it. You know? Duh. It's going to happen because you're setting yourself up for failure. So here's the thing. The gain is I'm here. And even if it's by a snowball and a half, make it here.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I improved. Now, I didn't improve that much. But so what? It's an improvement.
Right.
And you can live with that because it's not, well, I messed up again. Well, I fell short. You know, I mean, we all do it as business people. And if you haven't, I'd really like to have a conversation with you and see what planet you're on, because we're all there one way.
Well, if you haven't, then you're not trying enough new things if you haven't failed, right?
Exactly. But what happened was I was setting myself up for failure, not only with that, but in the gap versus gain thing. It's going to get a little esoteric here, but we're all economically focused. We all have our goals, and you need goals because if you don't know where you're going, you're already there. You know?
Truth.
And and once, in fact, somebody said once you can map something out, you're 70% of goal because you know the steps you need to take. I think it was Tom Peters. I got to look it up because I quote it too much. But anyway, I rearranged everything that I do, and I rearranged it into four different gain metrics in my life. And the first one is spiritual, and don't worry, this is not going to be a Billy Graham thing, but if you don't have a belief bigger than you and you're the biggest, I did it again. I got this is my artificial intelligence thing that when it sees my hand go, it says, okay, you gotta adjust it on my camera. So you know, I'm not Italian, but I got to speak with my hands. What are you
exactly.
Talking about? But anyway, if you don't have something bigger than yourself and a good set of values, it's easy to get off the track. I could write a book about it, and it'll be published 20 years or so after my departure because I don't want people to know what happened type thing. You know?
Yep.
So anyway, whatever it is, you need to tie into a higher level of ethics, of looking out for other people. Don't worry, I'm not going to get all Mother Teresa on you here. But it's so worked out for me, especially at the age I'm at right now, because I want to help younger people. Because mm-hmm. I want to leave something in my tracks. I want to leave evidence I was here. And the other thing, second thing is physical. A lot of times we don't, and I'm not saying you need to go out and, you know, turn into a muscle bound guy like Randy with all these, you know, were you a linebacker or whatever?
Yeah, no. But just barely able to get about in these trying times, my man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the thing is our bodies are blood pumps. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And so just go out around the neighborhood. I mean, I know it started wimpy. I started off with like a 1 or 2 mile walk, and it's not like I'm going to turn into a decathlon dude, but I get my routine where I have my little ear pods and I'm listening to my stuff, jamming along, and I'm pushing myself when I'm walking. Cause if your feet are shuffling along, you know, and you're not showing some R's there and moving along, mm-hmm. it ain't stay home, you know, and do whatever you need to do. But again, this gap versus gain thing. I mean, one time not long ago, I told one of my friends, wow, I did 12,000 steps today. Well, I did 17,000. And I'm thinking BFD, sorry about that. But you know, there's somebody that did 26,000. So right. What?
Yeah.
The whole thing is gap, but gain.
Mm-hmm.
Be the best you can be. start off with your own excellence. To get ahead of myself, I can hardly wait to see how I turn out.
Yeah.
I'm Scott. Yeah. Because there's a lot of people that are, guess what? He's doing it again. I'm going to have to I'm going to have to turn that thing up, function off on this. But there's so many people that are acting like Al Bundy and you know, the famous toss, the winning toss in high school tournament football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's so sad because there's a whole life ahead of you. You know, the good Lord's given us more days north of the frost line, and enjoy everyone and see what you can do. See how good you can be.
Love it.
What a weird thought to have.
I know.
But anyway, with the physical thing, you got to do that, and you got to challenge yourself with stuff, because your brain is part of that blood pump. And in order to do stuff, I mean, just taking on some of these new programs I got to have, that's enough of a brain drain for me in and of itself. You need something bigger than just stepping on the stool and reaching up for the cookie jar and hoping mom doesn't show up. You know,
yep.
I'm really stretching high with some of this stuff. Third thing is social. It's easy to be antisocial, even as social animals as Randy and JR are. This whole thing after COVID kind of derailed our interpersonal skills to a certain level to get out there. We got, you know, sit at home and binge on Netflix sort of mentality. Hope that's not anybody in the crowd, but. So you got to force yourself. So get out in a new social thing. And I'm doing that and creating events for people to get together. And again, I'm leaving tracks that people will be evidence that I was here doing something.
Love it. Yep.
And the final thing, of course, is economic, because if you're not working on your own cash flow, can I marry you? Because you've obviously got some kind of big trust fund that's supporting.
Yes. Yes. You know?
And those four things, it's so important. And I've got them in that order: spiritual, physical, social, economic. Because I had it entirely wrong the first time. Because as a solopreneur, especially when you've got multiple states, multiple markets, multiple everything going on, and you're good at it, so people are loading you up with stuff, it's beyond the scope of the discussion for us to talk about sculpting what you want, like I hinted at before. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say no. In fact, you know, once upon a time, actually, when Eastman Kodak was a power in photography, we were at an event, and they said if two out of three of your prospects coming in to your studio aren't complaining about your prices, they're too low. You need to raise them because they want your product, but they're too cheap to pay it.
Ah, sure.
So guess what? I raised my prices today.
That's good.
Because it's relationship. Price is never a factor, even on commodity things, because they trust you. You've already sold you. I mean, I'd be buying shingles from Randy every day of the week and twice on Saturday, because I know he's not going to be peddling poop.
Right.
He knows what the poop is, and he doesn't want to go down that bad road.
And I think, you know, it's important to guard, you know, because that's such a great point, JR. It's important to guard that as an individual, as an entrepreneur, as a salesperson, to guard that and never allow it to become a sale just because you got commission breath and you wanted to earn the $1,000 commission on that deal. Right. Because if it's not right for the customer, it's okay to guide them sometimes to say, do you want to rethink this a little bit? Because I know you'd love to buy this, and that sounds odd coming from a sales guy, but sometimes let's look at the long term, because if you look at the long term, this relationship, right? If you're looking at transaction, I'm going to take the deal today knowing, that's my old hillbilly, mid-Michigan hillbilly, knowing, if I'm knowing that he's probably, he, she, are probably not going to be happy with that at the end of the deal. And now all I've done is damage the relationship tomorrow just to get that check today, right? And so it's the long term. It's the long game, right? There's sprints. And that's one of the things I like about the world of sales is there are combinations of, it's a marathon with a whole lot of sprints intermingled in, right? And knowing when the time to sprint and when the time, it's kind of like Kenny Rogers, right? Knowing when to hold them, know when to fold them, right? There's a time.
Exactly. And if you're giving them permission to fold them up front, it shocks the heck out of them. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, this may or may not be something for you.
Exactly. Let's find out together.
It's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Such a deal to have for you.
Right. Well, and I like that. I like that approach a lot, JR. Is, look, if you and I are meeting, this may not work from your standpoint or my standpoint, but let's find out. Let's investigate. Yeah,
what I understand about your business, I think this would fit in perfect to your mix.
Yes. And
let me run it by you. Yeah. And I'm not saying, yeah, you could have bought it because you don't.
Right.
Duh. Yep. But I think it fits knowing what I know about your business. Give me 30 seconds. What do you say?
Exactly.
Love it. Who's going to tell you no on that kind of a pitch? No.
Exactly. So I love this. So the spiritual, physical, social, and economic is in order, because what I'm hearing you say is the you got to start in that order and work downwards, so to speak, right? Yeah.
Right. If you have the other three things going, because let's face it, if you're not a social creature, you ain't going to make the relationship.
Right.
People like me because I talk too much and I say dumb stuff. But you know what? I made him laugh. I just made him laugh. Did you see that?
Exactly.
And if you learn, again, this is a whole nother subject and a whole hour. Invite me back if I didn't screw up this time.
You're on the verge, but I think you've earned one more. We'll see where we go from there, you know. But
laugh all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Because people want to hear people having a good time, not, you know, let me lay out the features, attributes, and benefits of what's going to compel you to get me richer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because
that's
90s
stuff.
Yeah, it is. And too many sales guys come into it with this false idea. And I used to be there years ago as a young guy. I mean, big time there. But too many sales guys, it doesn't matter their age, but it's chronological how many years in sales they've been, that they forget that they think it's all about them. And it's really not about you at all. It's not even about
the sale.
Yeah. It's about building the relationship, building the trust.
Bills. It's about Randy's my friend, and he invited me back.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and that's 100% of the equation.
Exactly. So that leads, and let's finish with this one because you've been so kind, and I've officially decided you've earned another trip back. So you can relax now. Take a deep breath.
It's okay. My hat.
Yes, be okay. Take a breath. trust. This one comes up all the time. Trust versus relationship. Which comes first?
Jeez, the two. When you have trust, you have a great relationship. And if you don't have trust, you got nothing.
There you go. So I agree. Because, you know, you can – I've always said and I thought about it, and as a relationship kind of guy, I've probably been known to sometimes say it's relationship. But, you know, I think the two have to go together. But some people are different. I'm one that I can meet you – at the local Applebee's, and we're both having a Cabernet and a fry,
or a sarsaparilla,
which I haven't figured out what that is yet. I think I know. I'm going to have one in Charlotte or Greenville with you, but
yeah,
you may not. Some people take longer to build a relationship. I don't know if I like this guy. I don't know if I'm be buddies with him yet, but I do trust him. And that's the important part. If I trust them, then we'll go to the next level and then the next level. And then the relationship will develop. And not all relationships are. And that's what we have to learn, I think, to accept, too, is you and I are a lot the same. That's why we get along so well. Exactly. I like the buddy-buddy pal, bust each other's chops. Even if you're my customer, I'm gonna call you names and say crap. And you know, we're going to bust each other's chops. That's what we do, right?
Yeah.
But not everybody wants that. No. And so I think that's the other thing I got to do.
Some of them are facts and figures types. And great, we got plenty. Hey, we got plenty of facts, and we hope you give me the figure, you know?
Right. Well, exactly. And that relationship still may be that I just trust you, and I believe that you're going to do what you say you'll do. And that's the relationship I want, and it's a great one. And if that's what you want and it's a great one, that's still a great relationship. You know, we all have those customers where it's 99% BSing and busting each other's chops and oh, hey, do you need anything while I'm here? Yeah, give me a truckload of this stuff. I'm getting low.
Or that's even better yet, there's no offense to you, Randy, or anybody listening. It's a no sale because they mm-hmm. know they're on a rotation. Mm-hmm. They know after, you know, one time there was about a year and a half, 2 years of mm-hmm. knock on the door. Hi, it's me. Yep. I just wanted to say hi, and I was thinking about you, and well, I don't have anything for you. I know you don't, but I just wanted to let you know I was here, and I also know relationships change, and maybe somebody's going to fall short, and just think of me as a safety net. Mm-hmm. Think of me as that little safety net, something in your back pocket mm-hmm. for the rainy day.
It is, and the beautiful thing is that, and I love this concept about building business and building relationships, is building business is like farming with no seasons, right? You're always planting, cultivating, and harvesting or reaping. And you're doing it, you know, with this customer, you're at a different level. This customer, you're at a different spot. Sometimes you're three different spots with the same customer. And like in my case, where I rep multiple product lines, yeah. I might be in just the introductory, not even planting yet on product A, and I'm ready to harvest a lot on product B, C, and somewhere in the middle, I'm still cultivating, right? That's the exciting part of it. And if you can't sort that out in your mind and make sure you remember where you are, and with that customer, you're either going to not ask for business you probably ought to ask for, or you're going to ask for business you haven't earned the right to ask for yet. And I think that's an important part.
That's very true. And you got to know when, you know, with every touch with somebody, I'm either going to move up or move on. Hmm. Move the ball down the road. And that doesn't mean I'm that much closer to a sale. I mean, that's like me asking you, what do you think IBM's going to be trading at next week?
Right.
Or whatever, you know, but you're in it for the long game. And if you don't act like you're there for the sale, you're going to shake them down. Hmm. Features, attributes, benefits. Let me tell you about my stuff. Look, dude, I don't want to listen to your crap. You're the 14th guy this week that pulled this, and mm-hmm. you're all losers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And it doesn't work. It's, you know, anyway.
Yep. No, we're gonna have you back, and we could do a whole hour on just that concept of building that relationship and establishing that relationship. So we're going to do that one of these days, maybe after I come to Greenville or Charlotte or wherever I come into. I might fly into Charlotte instead of Greenville and drive out. That might be easier, but we'll see.
Hey, Charlotte Douglas is the third biggest airport volume-wise in the United States now.
Yes, I get lost in that airport.
I do too. Think about flying in. There might be a Avila airline. Wait a minute. Get the Chiron going under there, Wes, so I can get some money off this. But I mean, there's $50 flights to Rochester and New Haven right now. Mm. Not 500 round trip, but $100 round trip. Nice. And there's probably one from Sarasota up. Anyway, just whatever.
We'll get together, brother. We got to do it. All right. Hey, as always, I appreciate you. Appreciate your vast knowledge and experience. And this has been a blast, buddy. I'm just looking at the little timer up there, and we've went about 50 minutes here, and we could have went another 3 hours, but I can't. So, and you probably have had enough of me already.
Right. Oh, that was about 25 minutes ago. But anyway,
I understand. You know. Well, that's way longer than I expected. So, I mean, I wouldn't be so bold as to say at the end of pre-show with you and Wes, I'd had enough, but no, just kidding. No, it's been great stuff, brother. I appreciate you as always. The honor's mine. So I'm the host, my show, the honor's mine. You got to let me have that one.
You beat me on that one.
See, Taylor. I did. See, I'm pretty sharp. I mean, I'm kind of old. I've been around a while. So, well, JR, appreciate you, your career, everything you do, your friendship, and we'll see you soon. And be blessed, my man.
Take care.
Thank you. Cheers, buddy. All right. Man, JR was, if you didn't enjoy that, then I don't know what to tell you. There's not much hope, I think. But that's some really, really good stuff. JR's a great friend, a brother, and just a vast knowledge in a lot of areas, as you could probably pick up on. We could have took about every subject we hit on today and spent an hour on it. Maybe we'll do that over the next year or two. Who knows? But anyway, for now, I want to remind you of a couple things. We only go around once in this world, using going back to spiritual a little bit that JR touched on. So live it, love it, own it. And I always tell people, if you get nothing else out of watching anything I say, do, or think, you don't want to get in my head too far, but is love what you do and do what you love, because you, again, only go around once and you should spend your time doing what you love, love what you do. And lastly, and this is really important, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.